True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Thielen in motion. McCarthy keeps. He's got it. And forces his way into the end zone. Touchdown.
Good for J.J. McCarthy, because before the fourth quarter last night, his debut was horrible. Good morning, everybody. Joe Beninati is going to join us on the show. No, not to talk Caps. Joe B's called the first two Terps football games of the year, and we'll get his thoughts on freshman phenom Malik Washington at noon. Doc will join me on the show at 12:30. This from Tree. Tree writes, "We need coaching blunders back, Kevin. Please rip Ben Johnson." Yeah, guess what, Tree? We're going to bring it back. Coaching blunders today in the 11 a.m. hour. There were a couple from the weekend that I jotted down, so we'll do that. But I want you guys also, because I don't watch every single game, and there are plenty of them that I miss, so we may turn that into a call segment. We'll see how that goes. But yeah, Ben Johnson had zero clue as to what was going on at the end of that football game. A little bit alarming. I know it's his first game as a head coach. Give him some leeway, just like I would have done had the game continued for J.J. McCarthy the way it started. I mean, it's his first game. We have to relax on these proclamations. My guy, Kevin Arlington, and I love you, Kev. I do. Kevin was a big, big J.J. McCarthy guy before the 24 draft. And he just said, "That's J.J. Mack, fighter, leader, QB I envisioned killing it one day with KOC, Kevin O'Connell, mentoring him. I felt he was the second best quarterback in his class after Jaden, just slightly ahead of Penix." See what I mean? Yes, he was incredibly resilient, tough, battler, all of that. The first three quarters were alarmingly awful, but it was his first game. This is a marathon, man, when it comes to quarterbacks in particular. God, you know who played great on Sunday? Daniel Jones. Caleb Williams, though, we've now seen a bunch of games, and I do have some thoughts on him. But J.J. McCarthy last night, that was big time. To do what he did in the fourth quarter, when honestly it looked like he wanted to bury his head in the sand because of the embarrassment of the first three quarters, but he didn't. And that's not what he is. I mean, I think everybody knew about J.J. McCarthy coming out of Michigan. Winner, competitor, resilient, all of those things. He was not my favorite quarterback. I did not see it with J.J. McCarthy coming out. I love Jaden, as you guys know, and I really liked Penix Jr. As kind of after Jaden. Now, I liked Caleb's talent, too. There's a lot that's starting to come out about Caleb Williams. This guy Tyler Dunn from, where is he from, 33rd team, or Go Long, I think it's Go Long, did this big piece where he talked to a lot of people in the Chicago organization from last year. There are some issues, apparently, building with Caleb Williams in Chicago, and I did not think, even after the start, that he looked great, but we'll get to that here in a moment. The game was exciting, though. We've had four primetime games going back to Thursday. All four games have been excellent. Cowboys-Philly was good. Chiefs-Chargers on Friday night, really good. Baltimore and Buffalo, epic all-time opening week one game. Seriously, it's in the conversation. By the way, I did a deep dive on something yesterday. I had this weird feeling that 41-40 is a final score, Max, was like unusual, unique. Well, Pro Football Reference, for all of you football nerds, they've got so many of these search and these tools you can use to kind of just basically investigate or deep dive on anything. And so they've had this score finder for years. I've talked about it before, but you can put in 24-17 as a final score and hit search, in every game in NFL history that's ever ended, 24-17 will pop up. Well, I did that yesterday after the show. I put in 41-40, and there was one game that popped up. Buffalo-Baltimore, Sunday night. Fun fact to know and tell, the only NFL game ever to end 41-40.
You know what that's called, right, Kev?
What?
It's called a scoreigami. It's kind of a thing on NFL Twitter now. Now, the guy who posts the scoreigamis, he didn't post it the night of the game, and people had thought that the guy died. So scoreigami is a bit like when there's the first time of that score ever in NFL history. It's a big thing on Twitter now. So it's kind of,
really? I'm unfamiliar with scoreigami.
Yeah, no.
Very unfamiliar with scoreigami.
People
I'm
love
familiar
agami.
With NFL nerd. Like, he does some of the stuff that some of us are interested in, but I'm not familiar with scoreigami.
Yeah, that's that.
So did he post that this was 41-40, first time ever?
Yeah, well, people kind of knew.
Finally?
People knew as it was, the game was closing out. But I don't know if he even, hold on, let me pull up his Twitter, because I know he posted the final score from Monday Night Football.
And people at @NFL_scoregami.
Yes. He didn't put it out. He's edging the people with this tweet. That's kind of crazy. But yeah, no, first scoregami
of
the year.
I wonder if I'm wrong.
No,
hold
you're
on.
Not.
I'm going to go back and do it again.
You're not wrong. This is a scoregami. It has to be. 41-40 has never happened.
Yeah, I mean, I just went to Pro Football Reference and used the thing that I've used before, where you can search for any game score and put in the score, 41-40. Let's just see. I want to do it again. Find games. And yeah, Buffalo-Baltimore is the only one in NFL history.
That's a gami.
Yeah, but he doesn't have it.
I don't know why he didn't
tweet
it.
So am I the first to break the news on this?
The first official, with the most official power, that yes, you are.
I don't have any official power.
You have a platform.
Yeah, but not scoregamis. He's got 500,000 followers on X.
That's true.
I'm following him right now.
Good.
Just gave me somebody new to follow. I wonder if NFL Nerd had it. Because I do follow him, but I didn't see that he posted that. He's much more of a schedule nerd.
Yeah. I mean, people were going crazy at the end of the game. Like, that's a scoregami. People were shocked he didn't tweet. People wanted to do a wellness
check. They
must
have thought that it wasn't a scoregami.
I suppose. But they were wrong.
Well, it was.
It was.
It was. But anyway, back to the point. Four primetime games, four really solid games. The next primetime game comes Thursday night, Lambeau Field. Washington and Green Bay. The last time Washington and Green Bay played in prime time, it was the first Monday night game after 9/11. And it was ugly, 30-0. I'm pretty sure that's the final score. Now I got to go back and check that, make sure I got that right. But 2001, week two, because remember, there was a week off after 9-11. I'm sorry, 37-0. That was Marty's second game. They had lost the opener that year. I mean, it was such an ugly start. 2001 starts with Washington losing at San Diego 30-3. 9-11 happens. They take the week off. They come back. They play the Packers in week two on Monday Night Football. 37-0 was the final. Then they lost to the Chiefs 45-13 at home. Then they lost to the Giants 23-9, and then they blew it against the Cowboys on Monday Night Football, had the game locked up, basically, but ended up losing that before they turned their entire season around thanks to LeVar Arrington's pick six against the Panthers. They went on a five-game win streak. I know I've referenced the 2001 season many times. Honestly, it was one of my favorite seasons in the moment because it had been a while, right? I mean, we had had the nastiness of 2099 playoff season, but man, Marty seemed to have turned that whole thing around, and we know the rest of the story. Dan wasn't having much fun. Fred Drasner didn't like Marty taking away his parking spot. Vinny was out of the organization and wanted back in, and so they told Marty to pack his bags. That's the next primetime game. So let's hope for another one that comes down to the wire, because if it does, I trust our guy over their guy. By the way, the Packers now up to a 4-point favorite in a lot of spots. There is a lot of Packers love right now out there. I was listening this morning to the Get Up show with Greenberg and all those guys, and multiple people think Green Bay now is the favorite to win the NFC Championship. I wanted to say, did you guys forget about Philadelphia, the team that just won the Super Bowl and also won their opener? They're favored at Arrowhead Sunday in the late game on Fox. It's the only 425 game of week two, Philly at Kansas City Super Bowl rematch, and the Eagles are favored on the road in that game. Already people after 1 week discounting Kansas City as they don't look legit. Settle down 1 week. So last night's game, you know, I got to tell you, man, Caleb Williams, this is now, you know, year two. There's something about him and the way he plays, and you're going to have to give it time, obviously. I mean, it's a marathon with quarterbacks, not a sprint, and this is his first game, regular season game, with Ben Johnson as the offensive coordinator. But God, he looks very spastic.
True North convenience stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and sugar-free first round picks like watermelon, wild berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app, available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Very hyper. There's not a lot of the calm that you would see from Oklahoma days or USC days. You know, there's probably not a comfort with the offense yet, clearly. It's game one. You know, even in the first quarter when he started off basically, I think, 8 for 8, something like that, and he had a couple of big runs, including, you know, a touchdown run, it was not a work of art in the pocket. He's athletic, and he was able to extricate himself from a couple of things. But God, when he misses throws, he misses badly, badly. I'm not, you know, the book has not been written on Caleb Williams. You got to get through at least, with a new coach and a new coordinator, you got to get through at least an entire season. And then the coordinator slash head coach will tell you whether or not he thinks there's a chance that this will develop into something special based on his actions. You know, if Caleb Williams plays all 17 games and you see progress, hooray. If he gets benched at some point for Tyson Badgett, the kid from Shepherd College, trouble. The Bears have some talent, too. That's, you know, the part of this that's, you know, it's going to come down to how quickly Ben Johnson can coach up Caleb Williams. J.J. McCarthy looked terrible for the first three quarters. First game, nerves, I'm sure, a big part of it. Clearly didn't see some things, took some sacks. I don't think the protection was that great. I think the game changed for them when Jordan Mason became the primary runner. Charch told us about Jordan Mason on Thursday's show. He was high on Jordan Mason being the guy in Minnesota before not too long. Well, not too long was last night. He had 15 carries for 68 yards. Aaron Jones had 8 carries for 23 yards. Jordan Mason actually looked really impressive. You know, perfect back for this scheme, comes out of the Kyle Shanahan San Francisco scheme into the Kevin O'Connell's, you know, Shanahan, you know, although Jay's tree, the Gruden tree, produced Kevin O'Connell as well. But once Jordan Mason got in the game and they started to run the football, running the football is pretty important for a young, inexperienced quarterback, no doubt. And that first touchdown pass to Justin Jefferson was huge because it looked like it was in traffic and it looked a little bit, you know, discombobulated, like it was a good throw, but there were two receivers in the same area. I thought his best throw of the night was the two-point conversion throw to Adam Thielen. You want to see incredible arm strength. That is a big-time NFL arm strength throw, the two-point conversion on the out to Thielen that made it 20-17. But they scored 21 unanswered to go from down 17-6 to up 27-17. And then came the debacle of the Bears trying to manage the very end of it. It was not pleasant to watch. And if you're a Ben Johnson believer, you know, a guy that certainly would have been a candidate had he been interested in being a head coach. I still think they would have hired Dan Quinn after interviewing him. But the touchdown drive down 27-17, when you're down 10 and you only have one timeout left, and that's what they were, that's what they had. They had one timeout left. You have to score well before the 2-minute warning. If you don't, it's pretty much game over unless you recover an onside kick. And so once they got into field goal range, and they got into field goal range quickly because Cole Kmet made an incredible catch down the seam that put him at the Chicago 35 with about 2:40 to go. Now, clock's running, and they maybe that was too long of a field goal, and that they had already missed a field goal in the game, Chicago had. But you've got to get a quick out and out of bounds and kick that field goal with about 2:20, 2:15, worst case. What you have to do is you've got to have the 2-minute warning as your second timeout. Without it, you're basically dead. Because then you're into that, we're going to have to kick an onside kick. And if we don't get the onside kick, it's over. Because with one timeout, they can still burn 40 plus 40. That's 80 seconds. That's a minute 20. After they punt it, it's going to be like 15 seconds left, and we're going to need a touchdown at that point. If you've kicked the field goal, if you've gone and gotten the touchdown, it's still going to be hard after the punt to get in field goal range. Ben Johnson looked absolutely oblivious to this fact in the play calling. The play calling was working the clock all the way down. They had a chance with 2 minutes and 12 seconds to go after a penalty and an injury to kick a very short field goal. That would have been the move to make it 27-20. Then you can line up, kick off, and even if they run it out, which we'll get to in a moment, then you have a chance get the two-minute warning as a second timeout. Then you've got a third timeout. You would have taken it before the two-minute warning. Actually, dicey, you don't want to give them a chance to throw the football if you're going to snap with 2:04 to go. But now you're talking about a minute 10 when they end up punting it, and you've got time. That's pretty much the opportunity you have. Everybody that watches football, any kid that plays Madden knows that. Ben Johnson did not know that. It was very obvious that he thought they needed a touchdown, and he was oblivious to the fact that one timeout and not getting the 2 minute as a timeout was death. Now, they scored a touchdown with 2 minutes and 2 seconds left. So now you got to do one of two things. You got to kick it out of the end zone to force them to take a snap before the two-minute warning, or you have to kick it out of bounds. Kicking it out of bounds, they would get the ball at the 40. All right, they'd get the ball at the 40-yard line instead of the 35 if you kick it through the end zone. If your kicker can't sail it through the back of the end zone, kick it out of bounds. Give them 5 yards, but they have to take a snap before the two-minute warning. Of course, Kevin O'Connell knew what was going on. And in one of the most incredible, instant replay, isolated coach, kicker things that you've ever seen, back to return the kickoff was Tyson Chandler. Ty Chandler was back to return the kickoff. Minnesota had to return that kickoff because it would burn off the 2 seconds and they'd be able to snap the ball under 2 minutes. And that would essentially mean game. Well, he was looking after he caught it about 5-6 yards deep in the end zone at Kevin O'Connell. And Kevin O'Connell, who understands this stuff, said, "Come on out." And he started waving him out. He brought it out, minute 55 left. Basically, at that point, game over. When they punted, there were 16 seconds left, and they had 9 seconds after the fair catch, and they had to get in field goal range, and it just wasn't going to happen from their own 20-yard line. Again, first game as a head coach for Ben Johnson. I would assume he understands this stuff. But a lot of guys that have been coordinators and they become a head coach for the first time maybe don't. It looked like he had no clue as to what was going on and how badly he hurt his team's chances of keeping that game alive by not kicking the field goal with about 2:12, 2:15, 2:23 or whatever it was left in the game. And all due respect to Caleb Williams, I don't think Caleb Williams, based on that Thanksgiving Day game last year where Eberflus and Caleb Williams were basically frickin' frack in terms of the management of the clock, I don't think it was Caleb who would get it and understand it. But that's not his job. That's the head coach's job. Good football game, though. And a performance where J.J. McCarthy, for three quarters in his first game, looked shell-shocked by the NFL, and then in the fourth quarter came up huge. He is a tough, and always has been, a tough kid. The other thing I was going to mention is, I never thought at Michigan J.J. McCarthy looked to be 6'3". He is 6'3". I always thought he looked like a smaller quarterback. I thought he looked like a big dude last night. Minnesota's got an interesting team. They went 14-3 last year, and they said, "No, we're not really into Sam Darnold, who led us or helped lead us to a 14-3. We got this kid, and we believe in him." That's a big statement, after 14-3 with Sam Darnold sort of resuscitating his career to come back and do to let him go and come back with McCarthy. They did pick him, number 10 overall. But Darnold's end to the season cost him so much money and so much of an opportunity. By the way, We're going to go around the NFL at 11 a.m., but Seattle with Darnold lost to the 49ers in the opener at home 17-13. In that game, the 49ers lost George Kittle. They probably have lost Brock Purdy for at least a game. Christian McCaffrey's banged up. Trent Williams is banged up and struggled. The 49ers have been bitten by the injury bug more than any other team in recent years, and they can't win without their star players. With their star players, they're a threat in the NFC. Long way to go. 1 week in the books. We'll go around the NFL at 11 a.m. because we did not have a chance to do that yesterday. The only game we did touch was the Baltimore-Buffalo game. All right. Up next, sort of upon further review, I went back, and you know me, I'm not doing a film breakdown. I'm not an internet film breakdown person. But I did go back and watch a lot of the All-22 from the game on Sunday. And I thought that there were some interesting things that I noticed that I want to share with all of you, and I will do that when we come back. Kevin Sheehan Show, the Team 980, theteam980.com. We are free and live on the Odyssey app. All of our NFL talk, by the way, all season long here on the Team 980, is presented by Paramount Plus. Sylvester Stallone is back in the original hit series, Tulsa King. This season, Dwight faces his most dangerous adversaries yet, forcing him to fight for everything he's built and to protect his empire. Stream the new season of Tulsa King on Sunday, September 21st, exclusively on Paramount Plus.
True North convenience stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and sugar-free. First-round picks like watermelon, wild berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.